All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. When you find your place, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you can, if you're not, that's fine. Judges chapter 7 is where we're looking at this morning. Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. So if you have your Bibles, please turn there. Okay. All right. We're going to read the first 15 verses this morning, and then we'll probably look at, we'll look at the whole chapter. So you follow along. We'll begin reading verse 1 of Judges chapter 7. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod. So the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, I have that underlined in my Bible. There's many times you'll see, and the Lord said unto Gideon. It says, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many, bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go there with Purah thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thy hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Purah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. Verse 12, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told him a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Verse 15, and it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity again to be here today. We thank you for the country that we live in. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us, Father, and has given us this life that we can have and spend eternity with you. We thank you for the Word of God that you've given to us, that we may know you and have the mind of Christ right in our fingertips. And Father, I pray this morning that you would continue to guide and direct in the things that are said, Father, that you would be glorified in all that we do. We'll thank you for it and give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, God wants everyone to live in the power and the light of His Word. He desires to use us, and He wants to bring Himself glory. And that's what this is all about in the Christian life, is that God would always get the glory through this. The God is the one who receives it. And really, what happens when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, something happens in our lives. It's like a metamorphosis, if you will, that cannot be undone. It's when we put our faith and trust in Christ, He sets us aside and He calls us saints. He tells us that we're set apart to Him, that our life is dedicated to Him. We become one of the soldiers in the Lord's army. And it's that inworking of the Spirit of God that challenges us and changes us and gives us the desires to follow Him. And it all starts with one thing, and that is faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it changes our lives forever. This morning I want to preach a message I've entitled, A Call to Faith in God. A Call to Faith in God. You know, many military people have answered the call to serve our country. Many have died in that service. Many have been wounded, and we have today many people that are disabled because of that. It was a call. Today, I want you to know there's a call to have faith in God. And God wants us to understand that. We see in Gideon's life, that's exactly what happens. If you're taking notes, there's several points here. A faith that will prepare, a faith that will prevail, and a faith that will proclaim. Let me say that again. A faith that will prepare us, a faith that will prevail, and a faith that will proclaim. And as we look at this in chapter 7, this is not the whole story. This is just the part where he's getting ready to go to the battle. Before he goes, Gideon, he's not really ready to do this. He has no idea that he's going to do this. They're in a struggle. Of course, the book of Judges is a book of cycles up and down in the lives of Israel. God would send them when they cried out to the Lord and asking for help. He would send a judge, someone to rule over them and guide them. And they would bring somebody in and they would sit there and help them and guide them. And they would be in good stead for a while. This is what happened here. For 40 years, Israel was being led by two people, Deborah and Barak. And so this was for 40 years, things were going good. But all of a sudden, it tells us, if you look in your Bibles, to Judges chapter 5, the last verse in the chapter, verse 31, it says here, So let all thy enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in the might, and the land had rest 40 years. Now look at verse 1. It says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. This is the cycle that they went through constantly. When they had somebody there, things were going good. Someone was leading them. They followed them. But then all of a sudden they turned from serving God and they started doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And of course, this is not what God had planned for them. He wanted them to be following him constantly. But in verse 2 it says, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. So here the Midianites, God allowed them to come in, and this is the chastening hand of God in Israel, allowing these folks to come in and to put them under duress. And so here they're under duress in this situation. They came in, they destroyed their crops, they encamped in the land to destroy it. Israel was distressed, Israel was discouraged, they were destitute, and they began, as we think about this, we shouldn't feel too sorry for them. And you say, why, Pastor? Because of their own selfish desires, because of their own stubborn demands, and because of their self-willed decadence. That's why. And it happens in our lives, too, if we're not careful. So here God sees this. He sees what's going on. And then in verse 11 it says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak tree, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abarzite, it says, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. We're in chapter 6, verse 12 now. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. What if this morning, if God came down and he was in this room, or the angel of the Lord, and came over to you and maybe touched you on your shoulder and said, I got a job for you to do. The Lord is with you, mighty person of valor. What will we do? What will we think? I don't know about you, but I'd think, where can I go run and hide, okay? Gideon does something. He takes and he responds and he says, now hold it. Where have you been all these years? Where are the miracles we heard about? How you took care of Israel and all these things? So he's questioning the Lord in verse 13. He said, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? Did the Lord bring us out of Egypt, but the Lord now hath forsaken us? The fact is, the Lord hadn't forsaken them. They had forsaken the Lord. It's the same with our lives. It's when we get in times of distress or discouragement or get away from the Lord, it's not that God has left us and went somewhere else. It's we have left Him. We have left Him behind instead of looking to Him and trusting Him, depending on Him with our lives. And so God is going to have to teach Gideon some faith. He's going to have to help him along because He's calling him to do something. He's calling him to do something that is really spectacular, something that is miraculous, something that today, if we were called to do, I don't know about you, I would run and hide. And of course, Gideon, he responds with the fact that he was just an old poor dirt farmer, basically. He said that he wasn't even the oldest of the family. And so he's asking, why me, God, in this situation? Sometimes we ask that, do we not? Why me, God? Well, God puts us through trials and gives us opportunities to serve Him. Why? Because it's going to strengthen us. It's going to build our faith. It's going to make us what God wants us to be to go where He wants us to go. And that's exactly what's happening here. I don't believe there's a missionary worth their salt that hasn't gone through the struggles that Gideon is going through here, learning how to live by faith. I tell you, I would not want to be anywhere outside of the United States if I didn't have faith that God, I can trust God for everything. I couldn't imagine that. So here he is calling. Look at verse 16. It says, and the Lord said unto him, this is Gideon, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. So he called him right there. He's calling him, a call to faith in God. That Gideon, I want to use you to do this particular thing. The Midianites have come up against you, and here we are in this battle, and I want you to be the one that I use to do this. It's amazing how God works in people's lives. So God has a plan. And Gideon has to learn that plan. He has to understand that plan. And it begins with faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, Paul writes, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We have to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that seek Him. Diligently, he says. And this is what Gideon is going to do. Gideon is going to diligently seek the Lord here. He's going to build his faith. He's going to challenge God, if you will. Do we challenge God? You better believe it. How do I challenge God? Because I study His Word, find out what it says, and I try to put it into practice. Is God's Word true? Will it come to fruition just like He says? That's what Gideon's doing. Remember, Gideon didn't have very many books of the Bible. He had probably the Pentateuch. He knew of the history of Israel, but he didn't have all we have today. And so he didn't have everything. And so God is speaking to him directly and tried to lead him. And still, he's a little bit nervous about this whole deal. Not sure what's going on here. So Gideon asked God some things. Look at verse 17. He says, he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Gideon wants to make sure this is God. Are you talking to me? You know, I want to make sure. And verse 18 says, depart not hence, I pray thee, he's talking to God, or the angel of the Lord says, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. You know, God, he's always waiting. He's long-suffering, he's patient, he's waiting on us all the time. And he's willing to wait for Gideon to go get what he needs to get for this gift. In verse 19 he says, and Gideon went in and made ready a kid. Now I wonder how long that takes. You know, it's not 5 minutes. It takes a little time, doesn't it? And unleavened cakes and an ephah flour and flesh put in a basket. And he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And the Bible says he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. You know what? Gideon realized that he had been with the Lord. Look what he says. Verse 22, it says, "And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, 'Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die.'" He was afraid that he was going to die because he saw the Lord, the angel of the Lord there. And so the Lord said, "Peace, be still." Why? Because God was not finished with Gideon. God had something for him to do. Verse 24, we see Gideon's response. "Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Peace be unto you. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites." And so it came to pass the same night, this is verse 25, that the Lord said unto him. So the Lord has something else for him to do. And this is a big challenge. Now, this is not the biggest challenge he's going to face, but this is what faith does it not? Faith is something that is instilled in us that we take those steps. Most of the time, we start off, we take the little baby steps, okay? And then when we study the Word of God and God starts growing our faith, we'll start taking a little bit bigger steps. And then one day, we might step out and take one big step, and then another big step. And that's what God does. He builds our faith one step at a time. He's getting ready to do something that is a big deal, but it's still not the big deal that God has planned for him. And that's amazing to me, and it requires the faith. And that's what God does in our lives. He builds our faith one step at a time, so we're able to do those things He's called us to do. You know, today He's called all of us to do something, and it's greater than we could even imagine. But we have to do the baby steps and then the medium steps and then on. That's the way God does it. He builds our faith that we can trust Him no matter what. So in verse 25, this is what the Lord told him. He says, "Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath cut down," and this is "that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it." The grove is like trees, they're like totem poles. It's what these folks were worshiping at the time. Israel was worshiping idols, and his father had this grove of these trees that he was worshiping. He had this statue of Baal that they were worshiping. And here God is telling Gideon, "I want you to cut down that grove, and I want you to destroy that idol or push that idol down, and I want you to do this today." Verse 26, it says, "And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the order place, and take the second bullock, an offering, a burnt sacrifice with the wood, a grove, which thou shalt cut down." Then Gideon took 10 men of the servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. So it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. That's an interesting phrase there. Gideon's getting his faith tested. Gideon's faith is being tried in this situation, but yet he's still not completely submitted in the sense that he feared his father. He didn't trust God completely yet. And it says the reason why he did it at night, because he feared his father. So, but he did it. Nonetheless, he did it. He took a step out, and by faith, he did exactly what God had told him to do, and he did it, in this case, by night. But then we see in verse 28, it says, "And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, 'Who hath done this thing?' And when they inquired and asked, they said, 'Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing.' Then the men of the city said unto Joash, 'Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it.'" So they were ready to put him to death. This was something that was worthy of death in their mind and their eyes. This is a pretty big step of faith, is it not? We're trusting God to do something in my life, and He's told me to go step out and knock this statue down and to burn this these trees, and knowing that these people were going to be upset about it because they worship these things. And they wanted to kill him. But look what happens in verse 31. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be God, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. What is he saying there? He's saying, if Baal is really God, well, let's leave it up to him. Let him do the judgment. Let him take care of this. You know, that's true for us too. We do God's work, but we need to be careful that we don't step in God's stead. God can do anything, can he not? And so we always trust him, and we have faith, and we live by faith and follow him. And sometimes we get ourselves in trouble because we think we got to do something when God all along knows all about every situation. We step inside of the circumstance or get in the way of it thinking, I can take care of this. I can solve this problem. And God's saying, hey, I got it handled. And sometimes we don't think about that. As a child of God, everything that comes in my life, God has handled. And he's just looking for me to step out on faith and follow him no matter the circumstance. But here, Joash spoke up. He says, if Baal is God, let him take care of Gideon. Let him kill Gideon. And that's what Gideon's second name, Jerubbaal, means. Let Baal contend is what it means. And so look at verse 34. It says, But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. Isn't that amazing? I think here he just demonstrated that he was afraid of his father in the situation. He had faith enough to do what God asked him to do. It was a big step. And now the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and he's blowing a trumpet. You know what that tells me? He has confidence. God is building confidence in Gideon's life. He's not behind the shadows. He's coming up to the forefront now. He's making a stand for God. And he wants to follow the Lord. And look what happens. It says, Abiezer was gathered after him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers into Asher and to Zebulun and to Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Now, he's still not sold out completely. He's going to test God again. It's the old fleece, we understand, that he puts out. He's going to take a fleece and he's going to lay it on the ground. He's going to ask God to do two things with this fleece. Number one, he's going to say, Would you please put dew only on this fleece, none on the ground? And the next morning when he gets up, he wrings that fleece out and he gets a bowl of water out of it. And there's none on the ground. He says, Well, God, one more thing. Let me try this one more time. He says, I'll put the fleece out again, but this time have the dew all over the ground, but none on the fleece. And the next morning he got up, there was none in the fleece. That's miraculous, folks. That's miraculous. And God can do that. God does that in our lives when we test him through his word. He doesn't do it the way Gideon did it. Remember, Gideon doesn't have all the tools we have today, but he did it to answer Gideon so Gideon would have the strength and the faith to do this job that God's called him to do. And it's a miraculous job. It's all about having faith. So he's taking and he's preparing Gideon. He's preparing Gideon to have this opportunity that he might be able to win this battle and battle against these Midianites. These Midianites, there are 135,000 plus in the valley. In chapter 8, it tells us that. 135,000 Midianites plus, okay, at least. And they're there, and he's got to go up against these people. So here we see in chapter 7, we've already read it, he tells them, in verse 2 it says, The Lord said unto Gideon, I want to tell you something. I got it underlined at least 6-7 times, and I've missed some of them. But that's for us the same thing. As the Lord speaks to us, as the Lord tells us, as the Lord guides us, how are we going to find out what that is? It's right here in the Word of God. That's how we find out where the Lord says to me how to live, what to do, where to go, what the challenge is, and how to face that challenge. It's the Lord. In verse 2 it says, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give to the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, My own hand hath saved me. Isn't that interesting? He has 32,000 men here. Okay, that is a ratio of 1 to 4. Okay, and that's too many. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to battle and have to fight 4 people and have to victory. One's enough, you know, but 4. And of course, the Lord says, that is too many. Why? Because you'll go out, you'll win this battle, and instead of giving glory to God, you'll give it to yourselves. Look what I did. How many times have you said that in your life? I have said that so many times. Look what I did. I got the project of the year at Corning one year for designing some cables. And I remember thinking, look what I did. And the Lord says, you didn't do nothing. I did it through you. And he reminded me of that. And that's exactly what it is. It's to him be glory. It's not to me. And that's what he's saying to these people. If you do this, you'll get the glory through it. So he says, you got too many. Send those away that are afraid. Verse 3 says, now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there return to the people 22,000, and there remain 10,000 people. There's 10,000 left. I'm telling you, that's a big battle. That is something to contend with. He's talking about getting rid of a lot of these people. And he's putting his faith and trust in God. And God is the one who's going to help him and deliver him through this thing. And so he tells them, that's 13.5 to 1. So it tripled, okay, the number that you had to fight. 13.5 to 1. 10,000 men. And then verse 4 says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water. Now, can you imagine this? Now, if God just came up to Gideon and says, you're a man of valor. I want you to go fight the Midianites. And here's what I want you to do. And he had 32,000 men. He says, get rid of those that are fearful. 22,000 leave. And he says, you got 10,000. What are you going to do? I'm going to say, God, I'm not the guy. I'm leaving. But what did God do? He built his faith step by step by step. Isn't that what he does in our lives? As we look to him step by step, we step out on faith. We trust him. What's a way that we trust God? One way is we learn about tithing. How do we practice that? By doing it, right? It takes us a step of faith. That's a big leap of faith. If you never tithed before and you got saved and you realize the Bible teaches this and you start giving that, that's a big step of faith. That's 10% at the minimum, and even more as God prospered us. Big step. Why do we do that? Because we know the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. We know that. We believe that. That's a test of faith for us. And so we step out and we do that. That's what Gideon is learning, how to live by faith, how to trust God for these things. You know, it takes faith to confess your sins. He said, what are you talking about? I'm saying, it's hard sometimes to be humble. Because my nature says, me, it's me first. Me, myself, and I, the three people I contend with most often. But we have to humble ourselves, don't we, to come to God and confess our sins. We have to humble ourselves to other people to confess our sins. And it takes the faith that we believe the Word of God and that what God says will come to fruition. 1 John 1:9 tells us if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, it takes faith to seek after God. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? We always seek after God. Well, how do we seek after God? Well, He tells us we're to seek Him early. He tells us we're to seek Him through His Word. We're to seek Him through prayer. It's time with God. And I don't know about you, but there are times in my life that have been lean times when I haven't been faithful in the area of reading my Bible and praying. It takes faith, though, to believe that God's what He says will come to fruition. If we really believe that, we can't get enough of that because there's so much there. And that's what God is working in each one of our lives. And that's what He's doing to Gideon here. He's building that faith. He does it by the word of the Lord. The Lord said unto him. Many times we see that. It takes faith to put God first. Jim's favorite verse, just to wake you up. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I'm not going to ask you to quote it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's talking about worries about what you put on, what you eat, what's over your head. Those are secondary when it comes to God. God is first. And that we do that by faith. We trust God because He says that He will bless us and guide us through that. It takes faith to tell others about Christ. It takes faith to go to church. It takes faith to live in a sin-cursed world. It takes faith to love your enemies. It takes faith to walk with God, to read your Bible and live for the Lord. It takes faith. And that's exactly what Gideon is having built up in his life. And God is leading him through this. And Gideon's going to God and saying, "But God, I'm not sure about this. Can you do this and can you do that?" And God allows him to do that. And He does the same thing in our lives. But not the way He did in Gideon's, in the sense that we can test His word and try Him. He tells us to prove Him. And He does work in our lives when we do that. So here he is. He's left with 10,000 guys. I'm thinking, hey, that's okay. We got enough. Let's go do it. We don't want to mess with this. It's 10,000. Hey, we can maybe we can fight these guys. After all, the Lord is on our side, right? And then verse 4, it says, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, and the same shall go with thee, and whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, and the same shall not go." So what do you tell him? Tell him, take all the guys down there. It was 10,000 of them. They brought them around the pond, the lake, or whatever that happened to be. And he told them, he says, "Look, you're going to set apart those that lap like a dog and those that get on their knees." So the ones that get on their knees, they're going to be the guys that come to the water thing like this, and they're going to be drinking like this, and they're just going to be drinking, right? But then, the ones that lap like a dog, he's talking about, they're going to be doing this. I got it backwards? And looking up. They had to be. Those were the ones that he, look what he says here. "Lappeth him shall set himself likewise, one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. The number of them that lappeth, putting their hand to their mouth," okay, the ones that lappeth like a dog, he said. Why? Why did he pick those 300? Because the others, they were on their knees. Let me tell you why. Because he saw that these men were vigilant. They were looking out. They were on alert. The others, the 9,700, they were more concerned about getting the water than what was going on around them. See, that's what God is looking for. People who are alert to the things of God. "And the number of them that lapped," verse 6, "putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you." I'm thinking, really? 300 guys? Do you know what that ratio is coming out to be? I got it wrote down here. It's a lot. It's 450 to 1. 450 to 1. Who wants to sign up? We're getting ready to do an induction. Anybody want to sign up? Henry wants to sign up. Well, Henry, you better get some more people if you want it to be 1 to 450, or it's going to be 1 to 135,000. I'll tell you. But you know why they did this? Why they were able to do this? Because God built Gideon's faith. It was a call to have faith in God. It was a call to trust Him. And He built that up over that period of time. And it wasn't that long, by the way. And we know the rest of the story. And it's interesting when you think about this story. Not one of those guys had a gun. Not one of those guys had a sword. Not one that we know of. Because God told them to take some specific things with them. Do you remember what that was? A trumpet? What? Trumpet? And a lamp? Right? and a pitcher to cover the lamp. Why was the pitcher to cover the lamp? So the enemy wouldn't see them as they lined up and got in position. It's an amazing story. But it's a true story. And it's all built because of faith in God. That trust God for your life. Trust Him for every situation. And be careful not to take things into our own hands and make mistakes that God would not maybe be able to fix like we'd want them to be fixed. So they took the trumpet, they took the lamp inside the pitchers, they encompassed the camp in three groups, 100 of each. And they blew the trumpets. They broke the pitchers so you could see the lights. And then they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." That night, the noise of the trumpet, the sound of the fact that they said, "The sword of the Lord and Gideon too," and they saw those lights, 135 Midianites that night fought each other. They were confused. And they fought each other. And the victory was won. Not one of those 300 men was lost. Not one of those 300 men, as far as we know, engaged that enemy at that particular time. And yet he gave the victory. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31, it says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." It's God, and it's all about God. It's having the faith in the Father. It's trusting Him for everything. And He will deliver. All we have to do is follow. We can seek His face. We can ask Him. He'll take in our petitions and He'll tell us what to do. We can ask and say, "God, I don't know what to do." And He can show us. It's here. Because the Lord will say unto us in His word what we should do. "Be anxious for nothing," right? He says. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." 2 Corinthians 3, 4, and 5 says, "And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." God is what gives us the strength. God is who gives us the abilities to do what we do. It is all God and nothing of me. It's Christ who does it. We need a faith that will prepare. We need a faith that will prevail. But also, our faith should also proclaim. I want you to go over to Judges chapter 8. Look at verse 22. We're going to wrap up here. The victory's over. And the people come to Gideon in verse 22. They want him to be their new ruler. Judges chapter 8, verse 22. "Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, Rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian." It sounds good. I've delivered it. I did it. I'm responsible. I'm the one. That's not Gideon's response, is it? Because Gideon, he knows who gave him the faith to stand and do what he did. It's all about glorifying God first. It's not me. I just happen to be a tool. We all just happen to be tools of God. That He wants to get glory through us and use us. And He's given us the opportunity. And it's a grand and a glorious opportunity to serve the God in heaven. Verse 23, it says, "And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." That is who should rule over us. Putting God first. Allowing Him to make the decisions. Seeking His face before we step out and do the wrong thing. In Psalm 73, 28, the psalmist writes, "But it's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." This morning, we have a call to have faith in God. Every day when I get up, I got a call to have faith in God. No matter what I do, there's a call for me to trust God in whatever situation, whatever's going on that day. It's to serve Him and to look to Him and ask Him, seek His face and find out what He has for me. God wants you and He wants me to grow in our faith. He wants us to be able to be ready and wrestle with things that today we're not ready to wrestle with. Things that would be a big thing for us. But God, through faith and building that faith, it will not be such a big thing because we have the faith and we've seen Him work in our lives. You know, today we're going to have an opportunity to give thanks to the Lord. I mentioned in Sunday school. All of that's about faith. The things I have to be thankful about are because I trust God. And He is the one that does the work. God is working in each one of our lives. We know we have the victory. It's going to be there. But before we get to heaven, those that are saved, that have put their faith and trust in Christ, there's still something to do for us. And that's to continue to build our faith and be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And that's what God is asking this morning. Maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you don't understand what we're even talking about, this faith, having faith in Christ and having faith in God, that He's able to do all these things. These are not fables in the Bible. These are things that actually happen to real people that trusted God. And you know what? He's the same God. He can do the same thing in our lives and wants to. But we just have to trust Him. Do you have a great faith? Are you allowing God to test you and try you? Are you going to God and asking Him, help me, show me, teach me? He wants to hear from you. Because He wants to take the faith that you have, the faith that I have, and make it a faith that I can move the mountain. I'm not there yet. But it's a fact it can be done. Because Jesus said it could be. Let's trust Him. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, today would be a good day to settle that. I'd love to sit down and talk to you, show you in the Bible how you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It is a real thing that happens to real people. Many of you are sitting in this room today. But there could be somebody here that's never accepted Christ as their Savior. And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off, because we don't know what another day will bring forth. Allow God to have His way in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for Gideon and how You worked in his life. It's these examples that we have in the Bible that help each one of us to realize that the very things that You used Gideon for, You can use us as well. It may not be to conquer the Midianites, but it'll be something else that comes into our lives. Help us to look to You and trust by faith that what You've called us to do. Father, if there's somebody lost, I pray today that today would be the day of salvation, that they would truly understand what it is to be born again and receive Jesus as their Savior. Now we thank You. Thank You for what You're going to do in our services and the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.